already told us that even as there were false prophets among the people of Israel, even so there would be false teachers among us as Christians in the New Testament church. He tells us their activity, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. He tells us the nature of these heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And finally, the next thing Peter tells us of the false teachers is the terrible end that they will ultimately come to. He says, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Destruction. What's the purpose of professing Jesus Christ? Salvation. That's why He came, to save His people from their sins. Why do we put our faith in Him? That we might be saved. And here are people who claim to have faith in Him, who are united to the church, that deny Him by their false doctrine, and they bring upon themselves the very opposite of salvation, even destruction. What a tragedy. And notice who they have to thank for their own ruin. Who's responsible for it? Who gets the credit? It says they bring this upon themselves. In other words, false teachers are their own destroyers. And of course, they destroy themselves by their sin, by their error. Which again reminds us, as we always find, that sin shall and must be punished, and that the punishment of sin is death and destruction, eternal damnation. So they are receiving the just reward of their deeds. They're doing certain things that bring certain results, and so they shouldn't be surprised when those results come upon them, and yet they are. This has been seen over and over again in the Bible. I can give us some examples of that. You remember Balaam in Numbers? Balaam was called a prophet for reward. Or as he taught evil doctrine in order to gain financial profit. So he was a prophet for profit, a prophet for hire. He was in it for the money. And he gave the Moabites and Midianites bad advice on how they could destroy God's people. He couldn't curse them, so he counseled them to lead them into sin, and then their sin would bring them down. But what was his end? God sent the Jews to avenge themselves of the Midianites, or avenge the Lord of Midian. And so it says in verse 7, they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, neither, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Notice the next phrase, Balaam also the son of Beor they slew with the sword. So he was killed for his crimes. Now let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a true prophet, but he had many false prophets contradicting what he said and giving the people of Israel false advice, false teaching. In Jeremiah 28, verse 15, it says, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. A false prophet, judged by God. Chapter 29. Verse 30. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shelemiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people. Neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. False doctrine leads not to obedience, to rebellion. And this brings God's judgment, both on the prophet who teaches these lies and on the people who hearken to his lies. Let's look even in the New Testament, you find this. Acts chapter 5. You have the Jewish leaders bringing the apostles to trial for their preaching of the gospel, and threatening them and beating them for their labors for Christ. And they were trying to come up with a way to kill them. And then a man named Gamaliel stood up and cautioned them against it. And he used some examples. Verse 35, he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Then he tells about two false messiahs, two leaders that led the people astray. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Right, he claimed to be the Messiah. He was killed, and his followers were scattered. And it says, and after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So two false messiahs rising up to try to lead the Jews against the Romans, claiming to be sent by God to bring them deliverance, and both died for their folly and sin. Let's look at one more, Revelation in chapter 2. Here you have a church being warned because it has a very terrible thing going on in its midst. It has a woman teacher, which God forbids. I suffer not a woman to teach. And yet they did suffer a woman to teach, and she was teaching false doctrine. Notice what he tells them will happen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Talking to the church of Thyatira. Because thou sufferest or allowest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. And what was she leading them to do? To commit fornication and to eat things sacrifice unto idols. Alright? Immorality and idolatry. And those two usually go together. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I gave her time to repent of her evil teachings and behavior. She didn't. Behold, he says, I will cast her into a bed. Alright? She wants to teach about fornication? Alright? I'm going to give her a bed. She's in a bed of iniquity. I'm going to give her a bed of judgment. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. The only way to escape the judgment is to repent of the sin that brings the judgment. Notice what he says, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." So, what this tells us is that the embracing and promoting of heresies of destruction, remember these were pernicious doctrines, damnable heresies, heresies of destruction. So the embracing and promoting of heresies of destruction leads to the destruction of both the teachers and the followers of these heresies. Heresies of destruction leads to the destruction of the heretics. Job even noticed this way back in Job chapter 21. Verse 17. "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth them, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty." That's the destruction it's talking about. The wrath of Almighty God. What a fearful phrase that is. It's very amazing. If someone's in a house and you tell them, "Your house has a bomb in it and it's about to go off," you know what they do? They run out of the house and they do it to avoid being killed by the explosion. You tell people, "God's wrath is coming upon you for your sins." And what do? They ignore you, or they mock you, or they rail upon you for saying such a thing. To them, it's of no concern. What should they do? Come out of their sins and escape the wrath of God that is coming, surely coming upon all who are found in their sins. It's just as real as being in a house with a bomb. You get out of the house so you're not blown up. You're in your sin. The wrath of God is coming upon you for that sin. You get out of your sin and come to Christ to flee the wrath to come. And yet, how quick people would be to run out of the house and save their physical lives, how slow they are to get out of their sin to save their eternal souls. And it's a very tragic thing, because to them it's a joke. It's not real. It's nothing to be concerned about. And yet it's very real. And false doctrine will certainly lead to eternal damnation. Let's look at some verses to tell us why and how this is. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 29, we have a principle laid down for us. "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright." As we come to know the Lord and we walk in His way, we have His help, His strength, His keeping, His preservation. But "destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." The workers of iniquity, those who live a life of sin. And that's anyone who's without Christ. Because outside of Christ, we do nothing but sin, and can do nothing but sin. He's the only one who can deliver us from our sins. And remember what he says at the judgment day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And as he sends them into destruction. And notice how this is said of false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 12. He talks about, for what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. And then he tells us who he's talking about. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And anyone who works deceit is a worker of iniquity, because deceit is sin. And he says, he talks about the origin of lies and sin, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed, or try to put themselves off as being the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Their works are evil. Their end will be destruction. That's what the judgment is called in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. Now these are people who claim to know the Lord and even be his ministers, and yet they're not. They do not know God at all. And he says, when Jesus comes back, he will deal with them. How? Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? They deny that gospel. They oppose that gospel. They pervert that gospel. They don't obey it. And it says, who shall be punished, how? With everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall come. Punished with everlasting, eternal destruction, ever banished forever from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Now, when you say destruction, what does that mean? Some people think it means that you're annihilated, you cease to exist. That's not the meaning of the word. Destruction means not the loss of your being, but the loss of well-being. Hell is a place which is the absence of all good, no good whatsoever, and the infliction of all evil. It's a loss of well-being. The word means waste, ruin, or perdition. It's used in Matthew 7:13. What an awful thing. It is an awful thing. You know what else is an awful thing? Most people are headed there. Most people are right on their way to it. Jesus said that in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Doesn't matter what sin it is, doesn't matter what false doctrine it is, it can include all of it. And everyone and anyone that teaches it and follows it, there's room on that road for all of them. And yet it has one final destination. It leads to destruction. Philippians 3:19, when Paul was talking about false teachers there, he tells us their end. It says, whose end is destruction. That's their ultimate, final destination. That's their goal. That's where they're headed. That's what it will be their portion in eternity. Destruction. And he describes them, whose God is their belly. All they want is sensual things and material things. And whose glory is in their shame. You know, they boast of the things that they're doing, which are really shameful. Who mind earthly things. They're totally set on this world and the things of this world. And they speak of this world, and the world hears them. What does the Bible tell us about reprobates or false teachers? First of all, that they are reprobates. Romans 9:22 describes them. and all who live in sin. It says, what if God, willing to show his wrath, and God is willing to show his wrath, he's going to show it on all those who perish. And he'll be glorified in that. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Your vessels, you know, you put things in a vessel. You have a vessel, you put something in it. Well, unbelievers are vessels, and you know what they're going to be filled with? Wrath. And notice, it says they're fitted to destruction. And that word fitted means they're fitting themselves for it. When people go to hell, they put themselves there. They make themselves worthy of it. They do what deserves it. And they have only themselves to thank for it. They fit themselves for destruction. So they're reprobates, they're persecutors of the truth and of those who hold the truth. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Right, if you're teaching the truth of the gospel and you're living for Christ, and people oppose you and your message, you know what they are? Adversaries. They've set themselves against you and against your Lord and what you stand for. And what's it say about this? What does this show about them? Which is to them an evident token of perdition. Now, is anyone who resists the truth and those who teach the truth, that's a clear sign that they're headed for destruction. Otherwise, they wouldn't fight you. They'd go along with you. They join you. But to you of salvation and that of God. In other words, if you're preaching the truth and you're being opposed for that, that's a good sign that you're the Lord's and doing his work faithfully. So they're persecutors of the truth. They're also enemies of the cross. Philippians 3, verse 18. When Paul said to follow him and to walk as he walked and those who were with him, he says, but not to follow others. And he tells us about them. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Enemies of the cross, not preachers of the cross, not bearers of the cross, enemies of the cross. They're also hypocrites. They're claiming to be Christians when they're not. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. He says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Remember, they're claiming to be believers, followers of Christ, and yet teaching damnable heresies, destroying themselves and those who hear them, their neighbor. They're also covetous, 1 Timothy 6. In other words, their true motive is gain. They love money, and they want all that they can get, and they're using their supposed ministry for that purpose. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 5 says, you know, these false teachers, those who teach otherwise and don't consent to the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus and to the true doctrine according to godliness, he says, such as suppose that gain is godliness. That's what their godliness is, material wealth. From such withdraw thyself. Verse 9 tells us what happens to them. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's the end of a covetous life, a greedy, graspy life, a life that is made up of trying to accumulate wealth and material possessions. Destruction and perdition. were also unbelieving apostates. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. He says, "We are not of them who draw back unto perdition." Notice they had claimed to come to Christ and trusted in Him, but then they went back to their evil ways and their false doctrines. It says, "We are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Another thing is they are resters, perverters, misinterpreters of the Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, Paul, it's referring to Paul, is also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. And what do they do with these things? Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Or they pull it out and they twist it and pervert it and teach it falsely, as they do also the other scriptures besides Paul's. And notice the end, unto their own destruction. Isn't it amazing? They like their own ideas better than what the Lord says. If they would follow what the Lord says, they'd be saved. But they say, no, I prefer my interpretation, my beliefs, my doctrine to what the Bible teaches, and it only leads to their own destruction. Why? You know, sometimes you say, well, do they always get punished in this life? Not always. Sometimes, as we saw in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament, God brings His judgment on them in this life. But other times, it's withheld until the life to come. But whether in this life or in the life to come, they will be judged. They will be punished for their crimes and without fail. And this we know. Some men's sins are, you know, open beforehand, other men's sins, you know, go with them to the judgment. But all sin will ultimately be punished. No sin will escape. Let's look at Ecclesiastes and chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. They are destroyers of good. Verse 18, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Now, when you preach the truth, you bring about good by God's blessing. When you preach false doctrine, you destroy much good. You lead people astray. You make the truth to be confused in people's minds and spoken evil of. It does great harm. Proverbs 13, verse 19. I want verse 13. I'm sorry. Verse 13. Here's what he says. "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." And so what it comes down to is, they have God's word. Do they believe it? Do they follow it and obey it? No, they despise it. They look down on it. They count it as being a mean thing, as being unimportant, not worthy of their faith and their obedience. And so they prefer their own doctrine before it and bring destruction on themselves because of it. Notice their behavior. They're destroying themselves because they're deceiving themselves. And in deceiving themselves, they're deceiving others as well. We want 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. See, their purpose is to deceive others, but they're self-deceived as well as self-destroyed. And so in deceiving others, which is their evil work, as workers of iniquity, they bring themselves under blindness, spiritual blindness. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax or grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So they're victims of their own error. They may convince themselves of teaching the truth, and they're only speaking lies, and they believe themselves, and so they deceive themselves and destroy themselves. Notice, in deceiving others, they deceive themselves, deceiving and being deceived, and then in destroying others by their heresies or their damnable heresies, they destroy themselves. Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Isn't it sad? We sin thinking we want our sin, and the only thing we do is destroy ourselves by that very sin that we want so bad and that we think is somehow going to be a help or good for us. And then once we've sinned and fallen, we can't do anything to save ourselves. Our only hope is in the Lord. Yeah, how many people try to... That's one of the worst damnable heresies there are, is that we can somehow save ourselves by our own efforts, our own good works, or our religion, or whatever. Proverbs 5:22. Notice, these are evildoers, and they think they are serving God and helping others, and working for their own soul salvation. And yet, because they're doing evil, they are getting themselves more and more enshackled and chained by their sins. It says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holed with the cords of his sins. In other words, it's like tying yourself up and putting yourself in chains and being bound so that you can't be set free, and then taken away to judgment by his own iniquities and sins. He is taken and bound and held fast, and he can't free himself. Psalm 64 and verse 8. They're teaching lies, and guess what ends up destroying them? We watch those Tom and Jerry cartoons or Coyote and Roadrunner, and whatever they try to do to catch whatever the Coyote does to catch the Roadrunner, he ends up having fall on him. Well, that's what happens to the wicked. It says, so they shall make their own tongue. That's the instrument they use to teach lies. They shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. All that see them shall flee away, because they're going to see that they are receiving a judgment from God for their errors. It's sort of like what 2 Timothy 3 says in verses 7 to 9. Talks about the false prophets that opposed Moses. He talks about him as verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, never able to be saved, because God saves men by bringing them to the knowledge of the truth. Then he gives two examples. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Notice, resisting the truth. Not teaching it, resisting it. But they shall proceed no further. In other words, they're going to be stopped in their tracks. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In other words, God's going to reveal them for what they are. He's going to expose them as frauds. He's going to show the error of their doctrines so that men will flee from them, avoid them. Reminds you of Korah and Dathan and Abiram that came against Moses and Aaron. And what did God say? Get away from these men, lest you be consumed with them in their sins. They were in rebellion against God's designated leadership. And what did God do? He opened up the earth and it swallowed them alive. And what did Moses say? You better get away from them or you're going to go down with them. And that's the same thing God tells us. Get away from false teachers or you may be destroyed right along with them. That's where they're headed. Don't join them in it. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 17. Here's what God says to the people of Israel. Hast not thou procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? You brought this all on yourself by not following the Lord, by turning from him. Verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou hast said, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. I won't sin, and yet you sin continuously. You know, the Bible says a man perverts his own way and his heart frets against the Lord. We go off in our sinful, selfish lives. We bring nothing but trouble and problem and destruction. And then we get mad at God and, why are you letting this happen to me? He says, you have procured this unto yourself. You brought this on yourself. How can you complain? You know, why shall a living man complain for the punishment of his sin? You're getting what you deserve. You're getting what you asked for. The Bible told you, if you sin, this is what's going to happen. It happened, now you're going to act like, this isn't fair. This isn't right. When he talks about bringing themselves upon themselves destruction, the word here is referring to eternal damnation in hell, because that's the final portion of the proud, which is what these men are. Proverbs 15 talks about pride. Proverbs 15, verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Hell is equated here with destruction. Chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. These men are too proud to admit their errors and to repent. They're too proud to humble themselves and submit to what God's Word says. They'd rather go their own way, do their own thing, and believe their own doctrine. Hosea chapter 7, and verse 13. God says this, woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me, even denying the Lord that bought them, by privily bringing in damnable heresies. See, the reason that I'm saying so much on this subject is men really are deceived in this. They convince themselves, I won't be judged. God will let me get away with it. He'll never send me to hell. And the Bible says over and over, let no man deceive you. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. All sin will receive a just recompense of reward. No sin goes unpunished. It will certainly be dealt with as it deserves. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. He says there, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know, as many people have already perished, more and more perish. And how many of them perish by their covetousness, their unwillingness to be content with such things as they have, and always wanting more. Or as like we saw in Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them, he's the ultimate deceiver behind all these things, he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, which is evil government, and the false prophet, false religion, are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The lake of fire and brimstone is where the false prophets are. And the final thing we want to look at is how this destruction is described. It says they bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's the same word as is used in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. And it means sudden, speedy, and quick. When it comes fast, and it comes furious. That was chapter 1, 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Swiftly, suddenly, speedily, quickly, surely it will come. You know, these false prophets seem like they go on and on. These false teachers, they're confronted. They're opposed by the preachers of the truth. They're warned. They're told they need to stop teaching these things. They don't listen. And they think they're getting away with it. Nothing's going to happen. But what's Proverbs 29:1 say? He that being often reproved, over and over again, told that what he's doing is wrong and he needs to change his ways, he keeps going. He hardens his neck. He refuses to bow, to humble himself, to turn from his sins and change his ways. He keeps on in his iniquity. It says he shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, once it happens, there'll be no going back, no helping him. It's too late. Job talked about it. Job chapter 24. Verse 20. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. It says on verse 23, though it be given him to be in safety, whereon he resteth, or as he comes into a state of security, I'm okay. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm safe. Yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech on nothing worth? You read about it in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. They seem to be successful, doing great. They have a great following. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. God will ultimately bring him down. Psalm 64, in verse 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. know, you can be walking along feeling, you know, like you got the world at your feet. Everything's going your way. Nothing, you know, can go wrong. And suddenly an arrow hits you and you're down. That quick. Well, that's what God's going to do. Suddenly, they'll be wounded. Or you look at Psalm 73. The psalmist was having a hard time when it seemed like the wicked were prospering. Why do false teachers get away with it? Why do they have big churches and large followings and huge budgets and all these things? Why? He said in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. What's going to be their ultimate end? Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into what? Destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. In a moment. Just like that. Everything changes drastically. As a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And then verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go along.